The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Okay, we're going to cross around the country now to see how the fuel protest is affecting your area on this, the third day of disruption. We're going to Limerick first. Josh Crosby, I think you're in Foynes, is that right, Josh?
That's right, Shane. I'm here at Foynes Port, and this is one of three fuel sites that have been blockaded. So you have the refinery in Cork and another depot in Galway. The supplies that would usually come out of this port here would be fuel. This is finished petrol and diesel entering the country's supply. You also have agricultural materials for animal feed and then bulk goods. So since Tuesday night, protesters have blocked the entrance to the port with tractors and trucks. They've left room for car and pedestrian access. But now today is the first day there was some movement here. So just before midday, the protesters left a truck out from behind the blockade. Now, what the protesters have agreed to is to let in and out trucks carrying chemicals for water treatment. And this is the only type of cargo they're letting in and out. I met a representative from the chemical company who was interacting with them today, and they have reached this agreement. So since 12, around midday, there have been trucks going in and out, but only carrying this particular cargo. I've just been told now the last few minutes that negotiations are ongoing for the animal feed materials to be allowed as well. Now, this is not the only area targeted by protesters in Limerick. This morning, I met guys on the M7 motorway who had blocked the main entrance, really the main entrance point to Limerick from the Dublin side. There were tractors and trucks, vans on both sides of the road. Gardaí had the slip road blocked off. And just in the past hour now, I've been speaking with Sinn Féin Limerick Senator Joanne Collins, who's here at the port supporting the protesters. She told me her husband is a haulier, and she says engagement from government needs to happen soon.
We would class ourselves as working people, you know, and this is affecting every single person. And I've said it a couple of times since yesterday, today, and even I was on the N20 on Tuesday with the boys going from Croom to Patrick's. Well, this is not just affecting hauliers, it's not just affecting contractors or farmers. This actually affects every person in this country. The cost of fuel, you're going to have nurses who can't get to work, you're going to have carers that can't get to their next appointments, you're going to have school buses who can't take the kids to school because they're on fixed-term contracts. They've already set their price. Fuel has gone outrageously expensive. They just can't keep doing it. And the boys here have had their limit.
And as an elected representative, when you're saying people not being able to make their destinations, yeah, their journeys, what about the people who are saying now that they can't get petrol in their local garage this evening?
I say, get on to the phone to Micheál Martin and tell him meet with them. That's all they want. All they're asking for is a meeting. They're in Dublin. They're waiting. They just want to sit down. They want dialogue. They want to get this off their chest. They want to have a conversation. That's it. If they can get that conversation, they've said they're going to open the ports.
And some people might say, look, they understand a slow driving protest. They understand people demonstrating outside the door with whatever signs. But the idea of blocking a port, what's the reasoning behind that?
The block in the port, from what I can gather from everyone here, it's an escalation because nobody is listening. So if government listened on Tuesday, this wouldn't have happened. That's the message I'm getting from everyone here. They had to escalate. Nobody's listening to them.
How do you see this ending?
I think government have to come back to work, cut their Easter holidays, get back in.
Okay, Sinn Féin Senator Joanne Collins there at the Foynes Port protest. How do you think this is going to progress, Josh?
Well, to be honest with you, from each one of these protests I've been at since they started on Tuesday in three different counties, I've been told the same thing. They're not moving. So when I met the hauliers and farmers on the M7 at 5:30, 6 a.m. this morning, I asked them, how can this end if you're not prepared to move? And I was told that there are only so many operators out there who move heavy haulage, and none of them would be willing to do this on a local basis because they work with these guys and only certain machinery can move this plant. So then you get this news starting to come through at around 8 a.m. that the Defence Forces could be asked to assist. And this is something I wanted to get reaction from at the protesters in Foynes. So as you can imagine, this would be a location that would be cleared first. So I came down here to see if it was going to deter people. But to be honest, numbers have grown here throughout the day. Some people slipped off for a while, then others arrived. And now as I look down the road, if I was to give a rough count, there are between 70 and 80 vehicles lined on both sides of the road as you approach one of the entrances to the port. So I don't know how this is going to end. Just to give you a sense of how much that they're committed to staying here, we'll hear from one dairy farmer now who says if he loses his milk due to it not being able to be collected, that they can't fill the truck, he's prepared for it.
At the moment, there's a tank of milk. It'll be full after this evening's milk. And like, is that not going to be collected? Sure, it'll be down the drain. And sure, We have to stand united in this, like, simple as that.
And it mightn't be collected because the truck that brings it to the creamery mightn't be able to get fuel.
Yes, you know, and a lot of them might be out in protest as well, like, which small blame to them too, because they have a livelihood too, like, you know, they have to keep their business going.
And some people will be asking now, the idea of this protest now blocking the port, does that not contradict then, I suppose, yourself fueling your own machinery or getting animal feed out?
No, we'll have to stand behind them anyway, like, because, I mean, like, talks can go on forever, like. It can't go on forever when this is on a full stop, like. You know, the whole country is going to be brought to its knees at this rate, like, you know. And they have to talk. I mean, other countries can do it. Spain and all those have a cap putting it to get over this anyway, like, so nobody knows what's going to happen outside in the Middle East or whatever, like.
But to limit the fuel at the pumps is a way of getting people to the table.
Oh, it would be, yeah. Oh, yeah, they have to sit down and talk then, like, you know.
What's your reaction now to this news we heard earlier that there was talks of bringing in the army?
Sure. If they have to bring them in, let them bring them in, like. Because that'll add fuel to the fire. You know, simple as that. People are fed up now, like, you know, absolutely fed up now.
How do you see this ending?
Well, it is in the government's quarters now, like, you know. So it is them, like, that'll have to do something now. It is them that are holding the country to ransom now.
Okay, Josh Crosby, thank you indeed, Josh Crosby in Foynes, Limerick there.
And now we're going to News Talk reporter Jess Woodlock, who has been in the Curragh. Jess, you've been with the Defence Forces and the Defence Minister. What have they been saying? I mean, I know you spoke to Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, Rasa Mulcahy.
Hi, Ciara. So just to talk people through, I suppose, where all this talk of the Defence Forces has come to from today, around 8:30 this morning, the Justice Minister, Jim O'Callaghan, released that statement saying the assistance of the Defence Forces had been requested to help with blockades. He said it's well established in law that the Defence Forces can assist the Gardaí, and to do that, the Gardaí have to use what's called a C-70 form and request their assistance. So they officially submit this form. Now, around 11 o'clock, so after, you know, 2 hours after the Defence Forces confirmed they'd received that request. It's my understanding here this evening, Ciara, that the Defence Forces were actually not made aware of that statement from Jim O'Callaghan before it was published. And it's also my understanding that that C-70 form in question wasn't officially submitted at that time. It was submitted by Gardaí after 8:30. With the Defence Forces then later confirming that they would be available if needed. So it looks like Justice Minister Jim O'Callaghan decided to start the morning, I suppose, with a bit of a bang before even communicating with some of those involved. As you said, the Defence Minister, Helen McEntee, is here. I spoke to her just a few minutes ago, and she was asked if it was appropriate for Jim O'Callaghan to have publicly announced the potential involvement of the Defence Forces before it was even official. And she really didn't comment or, I suppose, rise to the question. What she did say, quite interestingly, was that with large protests like this, there is potential for violence, and that goes against the Taoiseach's comments earlier. He said he didn't expect any violence, whereas Helen McEntee here this evening said, you know, the potential for it is here. And she said there is actually a concern within government that some people involved aren't there for the right reasons and may be involved simply to cause disruption. Now, given that things have escalated today and the Defence Forces are now on standby, Helen McEntee was asked by reporters if this talk of the army sends the right message to the protesters and also to the public.
I think as a government we need to be really clear. We hear the distress that people are in. We know that there are concerns that we need to address. We've tried to address them with the €250 million package. We want to do more, and that's why we're engaging with the associations. But it cannot be the case that individuals decide that they are going to blockade parts of the country and stop people from going about their business, that they're going to essentially put other businesses out of business now because of their actions, that farmers are potentially going to put animals at risk because of their actions, and that people aren't able to get to hospital appointments. So as a government, we have to take firm steps. The Gardaí themselves have to take firm steps. It is not often the case that the aid to civil power is called in. However, if that additional support is needed to make sure that these blockages are opened up, then that is what needs to happen. Here, but this is never a first resort. The government is engaging directly with the associations, and we are asking people to please think about the actions that you're engaged in now, think about the impact that it's having on many other people, and please listen to the fact that as a government, we are engaging with associations.
Okay. Jess, what did the Chief of Staff of the Defence Forces, Ross Mulcahy, what did he have to say?
So the overwhelming message from him, Ciara, and from the Defence Forces as a whole here today, is that this isn't a case of the army going in with guns and lifting protesters. And I suppose some of that imagery that you might picture when you see all this commentary about the army, what this is actually going to look like is the army going in to move heavy load vehicles after the Gardaí have already intervened. So if the Gardaí feel like they need to step in on certain blockades, like we've been hearing all day, what Josh just mentioned there, they'll step in first, possibly remove protesters, talk to them, do what they have to do, essentially. And then the Defence Forces will go in with their machinery and their vehicles that allows them to move things like tractors and heavy load lorries. Now, I tried to ask how many troops might be deployed and I didn't get a number, but I was told that when called upon, Defence Forces members will arrive at the scene from a number of different locations. So they won't necessarily be Curragh-based or Rathmines in the Cahulbura-based. They'll be coming from all over and in Cork and Galway as well. It's also important to know, Ciara, that, you know, even though the army have been called this morning, this is actually, you know, quite a common occurrence. That C-70 form is used to request their assistance on, you know, nearly a regular basis for any big events or anything. The Gardaí do call upon the army as a sort of backup. But I did ask the Chief of Staff, Ross Mulcahy, about receiving that request this morning.
The Defence Forces have been asked by An Garda Síochána to provide supports, and happy to do that. We've looked at the request, and the support that the Defence Forces will provide will be in the form of heavy lift recovery vehicles to a number of locations around the country. This is a unique capability that the Defence Forces has, and we'll provide that for as long as An Garda Síochána need it. There was other online commentary around the use of APCs travelling through Limerick, and I can confirm that that's not associated with that particular task. That's a separate exercise that's ongoing for our personnel who are preparing to deploy overseas.
And that report came to us from Jess Woodlock, Newstalk reporter in the Curragh.
Okay, let's go to Jamie O'Hara now, who is at the Whitegate Refinery in Cork. Jamie, what's happening there?
Good morning, Shane, or good afternoon, Shane. No, I'm actually in Ballyvourney, where the Taoiseach has just done a doorstep where he has essentially called for protesters to stand down, that this has gone beyond a legitimate protest, he said. He was challenged as he walked in the door of the event by a protester who basically stood in his way and wouldn't let him past. The man was wearing a high-vis vest. Now, he had his hands in his pockets. It wasn't a physical altercation. And he said, do something about the price of diesel, will you? And then he accused Micheál Martin of walking away from the people of Ireland. Now, Micheál Martin was able to basically push his way past and he entered in. The man then said afterwards he was clearly very upset. He is an agricultural contractor and a farmer and a truck driver, and he said that basically, you know, people like him are feeling huge pressure with the, you know, he said he hadn't slept in the last three nights, that with the price of fuel the way it is, that he, you know, he didn't want to be here today, but he felt he needed to highlight the pressure that he was under directly to Micheál Martin.
Okay, Jamie O'Hara in Ballyvourney. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
And we're joined now by Vincent Jennings, who's the CEO of the Convenience Stores and Newsagents Associations. Good evening to you, Vincent. And what can you tell us about the difficulties, I suppose, in terms of the supply chain? How are the shelves holding up?
Well, the shelves are fine. It's the fuel that's the biggest problem. I mean, 300 of our 1,500 members have fuel outlets, service stations. And they work on a just-in-time basis. So, I mean, the amount of petrol that you can hold or the amount of diesel that you can hold in tanks is finite. So you would order for 2 days in advance, 3 days in advance max. And so orders have been going in since last Tuesday, which haven't been fulfilled because, firstly, you had Galway and Foynes. And now, even more critically, you have Whitegate. And that, between the three of them there, that represents 40% of the entire fuel that is going through Ireland. Into service stations through Munster and along the Western Seaboard. And we're now getting reports of many service stations in those areas actually running out of one or both fuel products. And for others, there is a run on them and they have orders in and they have no idea when they're going to get them because their suppliers literally can't get in to the ports to get them out. And that's a real concern.
All right. So what we're looking at now is petrol stations around, particularly Munster and Connacht, running out of fuel. Look, thank you very much for joining us on that, Vincent. That's Vincent Jennings, their CEO of the Convenience Store and News Agents Association.
OK, let's go to Richard O'Donoghue, Independent Ireland TD for Limerick County. Richard, I believe you're at Foynes. The Gardaí have advised protesters to immediately cease blockades of critical infrastructure or face the full rigours of the law. The Defence Forces, we know, have been deployed to help do that. Would you support the call of the Gardaí?
Well, the Gardaí may have sent that out, but there is no enforcement here in Fines.
No, but do you support that call?
The call that they've come out and removed protesters.
The call to immediately cease blockades of critical infrastructure or face the full rigours of the law.
No, I don't, because the people that are here that are protesting, it's a peaceful protest, they haven't stopped any of the infrastructure that was here at the moment based on water, based on feed. They haven't interfered with this at all, even from the...
So there's no blockade there, is there?
There is a blockade there, but the blockade
is on fuel.
So
what's the blockade of?
The blockade is on fuel.
And fuel is not critical infrastructure in your view?
Well, it is critical infrastructure, but it's also critical infrastructure for the people that are here trying to make sure that, that we're not being taxed on.
I mean, do you accept that it's the law of the land, though?
The law of the land. It's the law of the land for the government of this country to protect people to the best of their ability, not the law of the land to overtax people.
So you're interpreting what the law of the land is, not the state?
The people in this country that make the laws are elected by the people of Ireland and they're supposed to protect the people of Ireland. The government have ignored the people of Ireland and the cry for people of Ireland of people that want to provide food for this country.
Well,
that's for everyone in this country.
It's not working out very well. There's shortages. We're told the supply chains are affected for food, for medicines, construction. There's petrol station. There's queues at petrol station. There's fears of petrol running out. There's concerns about hospitals.
I've listened to all the different interviews that have been given about fuel. The fuel that's gone short at the petrol stations was actually diesel. Every filling station I contacted at the moment have plenty of petrol. They don't have diesel.
That's not the case. We're hearing of petrol stations in the southeast, for example, that are struggling with supply.
Well, I was told that they're struggling
and our last guest has confirmed that.
He said that one or the other, your last speaker on his interview said it was one or the other. I'm here getting the phone calls from all the people in the area from different parts of County Limerick and around the area. They said the most of their fuel is diesel that has gone. That most of the people are actually okay in petrol.
Okay. If
so, it's mixed interpretation from different people. These people that are here to protect the people of Ireland because they are the food suppliers and producers in this country.
But my point to you was they're affecting the supply chains to the people of Ireland. How is that helping the people of Ireland? If we run out of food, if we run out of animal feed, if we run out of petrol, how is that helping the people of Ireland? It's a very funny way of helping people.
But they've already ran out of money to produce the food, so they can't afford to run their vehicles to feed you. So it's a circle that has a circular economy. And all that was asked for was the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach to meet, and they got an opportunity and they got an invitation, even from political, like myself, that we would meet to see can we overcome this. They refused to meet political representatives.
Well, they declined to meet the protesters. They declined to meet the protesters on the basis that they didn't know who the protesters represented. And one of the protesters confirmed this morning that they had no control over what happened, for example, in Whitegate refinery. They had no control over the blockade there. So it would raise a question of what would the point be of meeting the four names that were put through.
Well, the four names that were put through to them was representatives. They had the figures of what they wanted to negotiate with government. That's unanimous across the country. regardless who has been interviewed across the country, they all have the same thing. They all have the same prices where they wanted this fuel to be capped at. Everyone is on the same.
I think Hungary is the only country in Europe that is capping has capped fuel. It nearly bankrupted the UK when they capped fuel after the war in Ukraine. It's not that's not going to happen.
You're interviewing. 5 weeks ago, the government here had a fuel at 170 a litre at the pumps. They were getting all their taxes at 170. We asked the government to cap the price of white diesel at 170. So on the revenue, on their revenue intake 5 weeks ago, they would have the same intake on revenue, taxes and everything in this country. And so that's not bankrupting the country. That's capping taxation.
Yeah, but sorry. You're assuming that the price of petrol is going to stay at the same. We don't know what's going to happen in the war. What happens if the price of petrol goes to 3 euros a litre? It almost bankrupted the UK It almost bankrupted the UK when Liz Truss introduced that.
From a business perspective, I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
I do understand the point you're making.
Well, if you may let me speak, I will actually tell you exactly what I am saying. Cap the price of white diesel at 170 for taxation. Any increase after that, people are paying an increase. They're not paying an increase plus tax. That cannot bankrupt the country. So you're paying the increase in the fuel. You're not paying tax on the increase.
If you're capping the price at a certain level,
taxation.
No.
Capping it for taxation.
You're saying capping it for taxation, not capping...
Taxation.
So, yeah, okay.
Capping
so
the fuel for taxation.
Okay. The government's line has been consistent on this. They are not going to meet the protesters because they say they are not part of the representative bodies. They will talk to those representative bodies. It now looks like there is going to be a move to remove the blockades by the Gardaí and the army. What do you think will happen at that point?
Well, at the moment, they've asked to say they were going to remove the blockades by the army and by the Gardaí. And what we're seeing at the moment, the people that they want that work for the Gardaí for removing these vehicles are actually parked in the blockades. So the vehicles that they want to use to remove the vehicles are actually parked in the protest.
The army do have their own vehicles. What do you expect to happen when that comes?
If the Gardaí and the army are instructed to do that, that's the bridge that they will have to cross. But you've missed one point here. You said that the government will not talk to the protesters, but they still won't talk to public representatives like myself. There is an option from him here to get a solution by talking to public representatives, which have been elected by a mandate, the same as the Taoiseach has been elected, and he's refusing to talk to political representation like myself.
I haven't heard the Taoiseach say he would not talk to you, for example.
He's had an invitation from Independent Ireland that we would sit down with dialogue to see can we get this to a satisfactory conclusion for everyone. He has not accepted that.
So are you now the political voice of the protesters? Is Independent Ireland the political voice?
I'm a political voice for the people of Ireland and for the people of Limerick that I represent. And they are the people that are lined up here on the road. Fabulous people, hard-working people on the roads. These are the people that we have. You should see the community of people that are actually passing here. People that are not even from County Limerick that are passing through. Pulling up here, opening their boots to feed the people here on the side of the road. The communities that have actually... filling stations and businesses around the county have arrived on here with food and thanked them for what they're doing.
Mm.
Because they have been crippled. Nurses have been on the radio today, have been on different media outlets saying that they've been crippled going to work, frontline workers. And these people are standing up for them.
Final question, though. It is the law of the land. And the Gardaí have said, and I'll put it to you again, they've said protesters must immediately cease the blockades of critical infrastructure. I mean, are you saying the Gardaí are wrong? Are you saying you don't...
The Gardaí have to do their job, and the Gardaí have been very respectful to us, and we've been very respectful to them. The Gardaí themselves are struggling themselves. It's like people that are in government at the moment that are whipped in, that have no voice. The Gardaí have to do what they're directed to do, and they have no other choice but to do that. And a lot of the Gardaí don't want to do this.
Richard,
because a lot of people that...
Richard, sorry, I didn't mean to cut across you. We do have to leave it there. Richard O'Donoghue, Independent Ireland TD for Limerick County. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.